Good morning. I'm Zane Vickery. This was my second year to Salkehatchee Mission Camp. As has been stated before, Salkehatchee, its main focus is not to go in and work on people's houses. It's to go in with hammers and 2x4s and to work on people's lives. Salkehatchee, to me, is a completely different world than from the home life. When people gather together for one united, single purpose, they tend to usually bond to each other faster than they do in their lives back home. And in 7 days at Salkehatchee, you come to know people better. You come to know people that were complete strangers. You come to unite and bond with them in 7 days faster than it can take for years in your life. Salkehatchee is a place in which only 1 week you go in, do the Lord's work, you make life-lasting friendships, one-of-a-kind relationships, and conclusively come closer to God. All your problems at home, all your stress simply fades away, and the focus becomes on bonding with a person, bonding with their home, making their life better. I was assigned to Site 3. The owner of the house was Miss Maggie Graham. Miss Maggie had a few problems with her house. Her roof was in disrepair. The back half was. She had a well pump house that was falling to pieces. And also, the biggest problem was that the main beams under her house had collapsed from termites. We went in there, replaced the entire roof with new tar paper, new shingles. We built her a brand new well pump house. We all put our signatures inside it so that she could remember what we did for her. And we also went in, tore out her old floor. The room was her grandson's room. We tore out the old floor, pumped up the main beams, reinforced them with brand new with new lumber, and recarpeted it. It's a brand new room for her grandson. Her little grandson's name was Kuisi. Kuisi was 4 years old. I can remember the first day that she was gone. The first 3 days she was in Brooklyn. And the first day they came home, Kuisi came up to me and he said, "Little boy, what are you doing to my room?" And we answered back, "You know, we're trying to fix it. We're trying to repair it. We're, you know, making it a better room for you." "It doesn't look better to me. Can I help?" And, you know, obviously with the broken nails and wood sticking up everywhere, we had no choice but to turn him back, and he turned away in tears. And so I never really got the impression through the week that, you know, he wanted to be around, but he was bugging us 24/7 whether he could come in and check out the new floor. And at the end of the week, we go to each different house and we look at the houses, see the repairs that were made, how they look now. And he was crying on his doorstep and he didn't want us to go. And to me, seeing the work that you did is some kind of comfort, but to go in and see that little boy crying and thanking us and not wanting us to leave, that's the real reward. That's why we sacrifice a week for our summer. Bamberg is a very impoverished town. There are closed stores, closed businesses on every corner. Many people I talk to, you know, say that it's the townspeople's problems. You know, why don't they go out and get a job? It was their choice not to go to college. Why don't they take up the initiative? And the problem is it starts within the town itself, that there are few jobs available. There's no resources available to go out and take up that responsibility. And the main point, you know, the main start comes from the children, that they grow up in a household seeing where their family members, where their parents, their role models are struggling to get by. And then they grow up in an environment where there's no hope, there's no faith, there's no love, and they essentially turn away from God without these qualities. Salkehatchee's main mission, from my point of view, is to go and restore these qualities, to restore that hope, to restore that faith, to restore that love, to restore these people's lives back to the Lord. Salkehatchee's main mission is to show that prayers are being answered, to show that prayers can be answered. I'd like to end on this note that our main scripture motto for the week came from Philippians. This was also another that I went by for the week. It's Psalms chapter 127, verse 1. It says that unless the Lord builds a house, its builders work in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, its guards stand watch in vain. And you can take that. We couldn't go in here and repair these people's homes unless the Lord was a part of it. It would have all been in vain. And you can take it in another sense, that unless the Lord is part of the soul, unless the Lord is part of the heart, unless the Lord is part of the life, your soul exists in vain, your heart exists in vain, your life exists in vain. Thank you.
Good morning. Good morning. There we go. Okay. This was my fifth year at Saugahatchee, and I was privileged to be on site 8, which is great, with Jessica and Lisa and Emily and Alex. Our basic project was to tear off the whole roof and put it all back, which was simple instructions, but easier said than done. The home was originally a double-wide trailer that had been added on to a couple of times, and the add-ons were not done extremely well. So the roof had some spots where there was no pitch at all, and it would just hold water, and none of the pitches on any of the sides of the roof were really the same. So putting shingles back on and putting the paper back on became increasingly difficult, but we did it. And when I was trying to think of what I was going to say this morning, I usually try to think of one thing that I took away from the week from the homeowner. And our homeowner this year was Miss Betty, and she has countless grandchildren who she obviously loves dearly. And she's just had surgery to remove cancer, and her 15-year-old granddaughter has AIDS. So she's kind of at the bottom, in my opinion, and I couldn't figure out why she was so happy. And it became evident later on that she had been using God as a crutch more than anyone I've ever met. And she had this intense hope and this intense faith that God was going to pull through in any situation. And so I thought on that. And there's a scene in one of my favorite movies that said, you should always end with a quote, because someone has probably said it better than you ever will. And I find that true. So I got a quote that's 4 pages long to fill some time. It's a poem by Bob Dylan, and it kind of rambles and meanders through what would seem like his life story. And it means a lot to me. I listen to it every now and then, and if you can follow along, I hope that you will. Good luck. When your head gets twisted and your mind grows numb, when you think you're too old, too young, too smart, or too dumb, when you're lagging behind and losing your pace in the slow motion crawl or life's busy race, no matter what you're doing, if you start giving up, if the wine don't come to the top of your cup, if the wind's got you sideways and one hand holding on and the other starts slipping and the feeling is gone and your train engine fire needs a new spark to catch it and the wood's easy finding but you're lazy to fetch it and your sidewalk starts curling and the street gets too long and you start walking backwards though you know that it's wrong and lonesome comes up as down goes the day and tomorrow's morning seems so far away and you feel the reins from your pony are slipping and your rope is a-sliding because your hands are a-dripping and your sun-decked desert and evergreen valleys turn to broken-down slums and trash can alleys. And you start getting chills, and you're jumping from sweat, and you're looking for something that you ain't quite found yet, and you're knee-deep in dark water with your hands in the air, and the whole world's watching with a window-peak stare. And your jackhammer falls from your hands to your feet, but you need it badly, and it just lays in the street. And your bell's banging loudly, but you can't hear its beat, and you think your ears might have been hurt, or your eyes have turned filthy from the sight blind in dirt. And you figured you failed in yesterday's rush, and you were faked out and fooled while facing a four flush, and all the time you were holding three queens. It's making you mad, and it's making you mean, like you're bouncing around in a pinball machine. And there's something on your mind that you want to be saying, that somebody someplace ought to be hearing. But it's trapped on your tongue or sealed in your head, and it bothers you badly when you're laying in bed. And no matter how you try, you just can't say it. And you're scared to your soul, you just might forget it. And your eyes get swimmy from the tears in your head, and your pillows of feathers turn to blankets of lead. And the lion's mouth opens, and you're staring at his teeth, and his jaws start closing with you underneath. And you're flat on your belly with your hands tied behind, and you wish you'd never taken that last detour sign. You say to yourself, just what am I doing on this road I'm walking, on this trail I'm turning, on this curve I'm hanging, on this pathway I'm strolling, this space I'm taking, and this air I'm inhaling? Am I mixed up too much? Am I mixed up too hard? Why am I walking? Where am I running? What am I saying? What am I knowing? Who am I helping? What am I breaking? What am I giving? What am I taking? And you know that something special you're needing. You need something special, all right. You need a fast-flying train on a tornado track to shoot you someplace and shoot you back. You need a cyclone wind on a steam engine howler that's been banging and booming and blowing forever, that knows your troubles 100 times over. You need a Greyhound bus that don't bar no race, that won't laugh at your looks, your voice, or your face. And by any number of bets in the book, we'll be rolling long after the bubblegum craze. You need something to open up a new door, to show you something you've seen before but overlooked 100 times or more. You need something to open your eyes. You need something to make it known that it's you and no one else that owns that spot you're standing, that space you're sitting, that the world ain't got you beat, it ain't got you licked, it can't get you crazy no matter how many times you might get kicked. You need something special, all right. You need something special to give you hope. But hope's just a word that maybe you said and maybe you heard on some windy corner around a wide-angled curve. But that's what you need, and you need it bad, and your trouble is you know it too good. Because you look and you start getting the chills, because you can't find it on a dollar bill, and it ain't in a Macy's windowsill, and it ain't on no rich kid's roadmap, and it ain't in no fat kid's fraternity house, and it ain't made in a Hollywood wheat germ. No, you can't find it neither in no nightclub, no yacht club, and it ain't in the seats of a supper club. And though it's hard to sell, you're bound to tell. No matter how hard you rub, you ain't gonna find it on your ticket stub. And you can't find it on the golf course, and Uncle Remus can't tell you, and neither can Santa Claus. No, you'll not now or any other day find in the doorsteps of paper mache, not in the 50-star generals or flipped-out phonies who turn you in for a tenth of a penny, who breathe and burp and bend and crack, and before you can count from 1 to 10, do it all over again, but this time behind your back, my friend. And you yell to yourself and you throw down your hat, saying, ain't there no one here that knows where I'm at? Ain't there no one here that knows how I feel? Come on, guys, that stuff ain't real. No, but that ain't your game. It ain't your race. You can't hear your name and you can't see your face. You gotta look some other place. And where do you look for this hope that you're seeking? Where do you look for this lamp that's burning? Where do you look for this oil well that's gushing? Where do you look for the candle that's glowing? Where do you look for this hope that you know is there and out there somewhere? And your feet can only walk down 2 kinds of roads. Your eyes can only look through 2 kinds of windows. Your nose can only smell 2 kinds of hallways. You can touch and twist and turn 2 kinds of doorknobs. You can either go to the church of your choice, or you can go to Brooklyn State Hospital. You'll find God in the church of your choice, and you'll find your friends in Brooklyn State Hospital. And though it's only my opinion, I may be right or wrong, you'll find them both in the Grand Canyon at sundown.